listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get an inside look at the new Browns draft class by tuning into the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight this Saturday at 7 p.m. on WKYC Channel 3. The Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight explores each player's unique journey to the NFL and becoming a Cleveland Brown. Don't miss it. Tune in this Saturday at 7 p.m. on WKYC Channel 3. And again, for those of you out of the area, the show will stream at clevelandbrowns.com following its airing on TV. It's a one-hour program, and it is fantastic. You are going to learn a lot about these six young men who have joined the Browns via the 2014 draft. I urge you to check it out again this Saturday, 7 p.m. And if you're out partying, DVR it. Watch it at your leisure. Again, the Rookie Spotlight, 7 p.m. WKYC. Channel 3.
I think there should be a viewing party. I think the partying should be done while that's on.
It should be, right? It's like your pregame. You can pregame that till late, then go out have a night
out. In fact, I'm going to do that. I'm going to have a party in my house watching that show. I'm going to have a viewing party.
Absolutely. Good. Notorious. Bill, you can grill and chill. Build it around that. It'll be a great Saturday for all involved.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, we are going to go now to play a little fact or fiction. So we'll bring in our great producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs.
Fact or fiction.
I like the viewing party, Vic. Look forward to the invite.
Absolutely, we're
I'll
working
bring
on
the
them now.
Dip and chips.
Yeah, we're going through some sample invites that we sent out.
I like right. it.
And different chips for different segments of the show.
Question.
Rotating. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, all good. Question number one. No matter what happens with Josh Gordon, the wide receiver position is a better all-around unit than last season.
I'll just jump right in here.
Go ahead. Jump.
Fiction. No, if Josh Gordon is not here, the wide receiver position is not a better unit than it was last year. And that could be true, even though I'll probably believe wide receivers 2, 3, 4, and 5 are better than wide receivers 2, 3, 4, and 5 last year. But the gap between Josh Gordon, who is at least in the top three wide receivers in the NFL, you can make the case for any of those guys to be number one. The case can be made for Gordon. The drop-off between him and anybody else who could possibly fill that role is so big, it's bigger than the Grand Canyon, that I could not say that it's a better all-around unit, even though they will be better from 2 to 5. With Josh Gordon, no question, it's a slam dunk that this is a better pass-catching group than he had last year at wide receiver.
Yeah, the answer to this question, in my mind, is the depth at the position better, regardless of Gordon? Of course,
yes.
It is. That's what has improved. That's the constant. I think you can sense that there are clear upgrades with. And again, there's a lot hinging on Miles Austin being available, being healthy, being in shape, all those things he needs to show he can do that we don't really know right now from him. We think it can be better. And absolutely looking at Andrew Hawkins, I think I'll go out on a limb and say that this will be better than Devon Bess. And, of course, people are groaning saying, well, come on, how much is that really a compliment? But it is a compliment because Bess came in with more establishment than this guy, but I think this guy will take it and actually do it. But you're 1,000% right, Nathan. You cannot take the best or one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers in the game, a guy who had historic performances in 2013, take him away and say your receiving core is better. Not true.
Fact or fiction?
Question number two today. Joel Bitonio will be a starter on September 7th in Pittsburgh.
I'm jumping on this one. Yes, he will start, and he will stay a starter on this football team for a long, long time. Probably going to be at guard to begin with, and I'm guessing it would be probably more on the right side. He's worked both guard spots through camp. They'll find where they need him the most. This guy, I think, is going to be special. I think this guy is going to be ending up in Pro Bowls and help this team to a lot of success through the years.
No question. That is an absolute fact. Joel Bitonio will be a starter on September the 7th, barring an injury. I expect him to see out there starting every game this year and being a difference maker. His explosiveness on the ball, off the ball, at the snap is already so apparent. This guy, I think they got a special player, a first-round talent. I know he was very highly regarded on the Browns draft board, and they felt like they got a steal at number 35.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Fact or fiction?
Question number three today, guys. Brian Hoyer's knee will have a big impact on the quarterback competition.
I would have to I'm going to say fiction because my sense of it right now is that it's not going to be a real issue just on what I can see so far. What I don't know, and this is where it's not even speaking, and I wouldn't, medically or even trying to speak as to what Brian Hoyer feels. I can't be in his, you know, in his body to know this. But my sense is that he's performing in a way that it doesn't seem to bother him. The brace absolutely does right now. The brace is not a natural, comfortable thing for him. You'll see him reach down and grab it and kind of adjust it because it slides down. So either they've got to get him another brace or tape it differently or do something to keep it in place a little better. But that's typical with my experience of watching players, especially quarterbacks and running backs, deal with braces. It's just not natural for them when they haven't dealt with them for a long time. But I don't see the knee itself impacting the competition in a way that Brian Hoyer is going to have some kind of unfair disadvantage.
I think the knee is not going to impact the quarterback competition. I will say that that is fiction. The only way that it may impact him is that the rehab that he has gone through has, in my mind, has improved his overall strength in throwing the football. And maybe it turned out to be a blessing in disguise for Brian Hoyer. And in that sense, it could impact it. But I think it's going to be decided by what's on the field. And I don't think it's going to be a negative or a hindrance for Brian Hoyer as he competes against Johnny Manziel.
And to add to that strength conversation, I know we've referenced it with his throwing arm, but I think his overall upper body and his overall frame looks to be a little more solid, and I think this was a concern that you could have, that I had, with Brian Hoyer. How would he last to the hitting? And I wasn't even just talking about the knee injury that he suffered in somewhat of a freaky fall, you know, slide that should have, that his leg shouldn't have gotten under him as they did in that Buffalo game, but I'm talking overall, just withstanding the hits and the punishment, and he needs to clearly build himself up for that and has taken those steps to do so.
Absolutely.
Fact or fiction?
Final question today, guys. Skirmishes, as we'll call them, in OTAs or in training camp, are a good thing.
They are, in fact, as long as they're not just, you know, an everyday thing, because then they just lose their effect. An occasional skirmish is a good thing. It's reflective, especially when you see it at training camp. It's that point of which I'm sick of seeing the same color jersey across from me. I'm sick of just smelling this guy's breath across from me. And that kind of thing leads to the same level of animosity that a lot of people in close confines have. Nathan and I never have this problem. We usually don't get sick of each other that much.
That's right. No skirmishes for me.
We don't have any skirmishes, right?
No skirmishes.
Throwing a mic at you.
Yeah, we're skirmish-free.
But we're skirmish-free. But I think in that context of the hitting, the day-to-day. And I think, again, coaches can influence this, and it's not just Mike Pettine, the assistant coaches as well, in tone setting, Nathan.
Yeah, I think that they have a role. I think it's good to see people compete to the point that they're willing to fight for what they want. Now, you got to remember, ultimately, these are your teammates. These are not the guys that you're ultimately going to battle against. So I caution against it becoming too big of a deal, but as long as it's got the right place, the right tone, I'm for it. I want to see people competing and getting right up to that line, as Mike Pettine said. So I'm fine with it. It shows intensity. It shows that people care. And I think this is a Browns team that's going to be intense. It's going to care. They're going to compete. And it's going to happen from time to time. Now, as long as – and no injuries coming out of it is also important to me.
Yeah.
It needs to be an injury-free fracas in my mind.
Yeah. Usually football fights don't result in injury. Usually. We've seen some, and we've seen some instances on teams. I don't know that they've been around the Browns, but, I mean, am I covering this league where some very frightening and nasty things happen with fights beyond, you know, just the usual batting around on each other's pads and, you know, you keep helmets on and you don't necessarily see any. I mean, if you're punching somebody's helmet, you're stupid because you're going to break your hand on a helmet or a face mask or injure your hand. So you don't want injuries. You don't want any stupidity. And this is the other thing to keep in mind. There has to be a level of discipline. Fights in a game result in penalties. So you don't want that mindset to get over the top. I think it's a good thing, again, to have that edge and to have that feel, and it's going to be promoted. I think more so than this coaching staff, what we saw yesterday is reflective of, say, more to come. But, you know, you and I are together on this. This is not about WWE comes to practices at the Browns or
right.
Boxing matches. This is football. And you only have a finite amount of time to practice, to learn plays, to get everybody right. Every time you delay that with like a fight, you're hurting everybody because you're losing time. Either you're out there longer than you need to be. And by the way, in the off season especially, there's regulations on the amount of time you can be out there.
Absolutely.
Through the CBA.
Yeah, you got to make sure you use that time and use it wisely. When we come back, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network will be our guest here talking about the line, the early impressions of OTAs. He was out there yesterday. The Deke will join us right after this.